Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue our discussion today. We began in the last couple of days now, have been discussing the sort of the anatomy of temptation. We're in this season of Lent, which is a time to do spiritual battle. It's a time to be alert, to be awake, to receive the grace that the Lord wants to give us in this season, but to approach it with the right mind and the right heart. One of the tests we need to give ourselves is to say, okay, as I take seriously this battle against sin, and I want to understand it better, I want to understand how it works in my life, what does that stir up in you? Does it immediately stir discouragement, self-condemnation, self-hatred, the rest? When that happens, which can happen pretty easily, you need to know where that comes from. That comes from the devil. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's such a thing as healthy guilt, healthy understanding of the nature of sin and its work in our lives, and be serious about it. That's a totally different thing than self-condemnation. Self-condemnation is a strategy of the devil to get you to give up and to give in, to be discouraged, and to somehow feel like you are the person who's outside, far outside God's mercy. You've just sinned too much, or there's something about you that's just wrong and is just broken and is displeasing to God, and he's mostly mad at you, sad at you, frustrated with you. He's ready to give up on you, things like that. That's what the devil wants to do, because he knows if you have a taste in you and you have some confidence in the level of God's total commitment and unconditional love toward you and his mercy toward you, he knows if that thread is there even that you're holding on to, you're going to be much more easy to defeat, because there is your strength. It's our trust in God. It's our willingness to know he doesn't abandon us, that he's close at hand, and that he's here to help us. And so no matter what we're carrying, it's time to turn to him. The best time is now, in the moment, to turn to him, to look at him, to let him look at you. He wants to come and lift the shame from your life. This is part of the yoke. We talked earlier in the week, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, I'm humble. Well, the yoke of sin is really heavy, and it includes the yoke of the devil's condemnation and then self-condemnation and the weight of that. It's isolating, it's painful, it's difficult. And the Lord wants to help you throw that off, getting sacramental grace, getting the help and encouragement of God's word, experiencing his tender mercy and forgiveness towards you, and the help of others to get through these battles, to come into a place of living more consistently in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. I ended yesterday's program with a passage from James where he kind of talks about the dynamics of sin, where he describes how it works. James 1, verses 12 through 15 said, blessed is the man who endures temptation, that is, he perseveres through that. For when he has been approved, that is, found consistent with God's plan and purpose and God's will, he will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So our victory over sin that the Lord is here to help us with is fundamentally rooted in our desire to love God, to receive his love in our life, and to give to God what belongs to God, and to love God and neighbor. And the Lord wants to help us get there. He's on our side. He's in your corner. Verse 14, each one is tempted. Now he's starting to describe what sin and temptation are like. So sin begins with temptation. Each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and he's enticed. When desire has been conceived, it gives birth. It gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So I'm going to just break these down, these various stages he puts his fingers on. I think there's like six of them here that he's touching on. So there's the initial stirring of lust that goes on. We begin to be drawn away by a lustful desire. It usually occurs in our imagination in some way. We're casually thinking about it, and it could just begin to emerge. And it wants to, it's kind of a lustful desire. And again, it's not just sexual lust. It could be pride, anger, something covetous, sexual immorality, drawn toward drink or indulgence. Satan wants our fleeting thought, just a fleeting thought, to become a sustained thought. Just a fleeting thought, he wants it to become a fantasy. He wants us to begin to play with it a little bit. There's a big difference between that momentary thing passing through and our stopping it as it's passing through and sitting down and just beginning to play with it in our mind. That's a dangerous spot. So stage one here, as it's just fleeting through, is it's the easiest place to stop the power of lust from beginning to grow within us. That's stage one. Stage two, it's when this fleeting thought becomes more of a sustained thought. And there's a decision, the emergence of a decision is happening. We're enticed by it, drawn to it. We're starting to think more about it. It starts to capture our imagination. We start to fantasize about it. Now, friends, that could be a sexual desire. That could be a desire to take revenge or to speak badly about somebody that we're angry at. We want to get back at somebody. The idea of stealing something, you name it. So it's a whole range of things. It's a coveting. It's a lusting. It's a power. So that our imagination is energized, then it's demonic. We keep the door open. The devil gets room to start to stir up a storm of temptation within us. And it starts to stir and it gets intense. That's stage two. Stage three is finally the decision. We've played with it. It's rising within us. The enemy's energizing it. It feels really intense. And then finally, a decision is conceived. A desire is conceived that leads to a decision to walk out a sinful action. We all know what that's like. I certainly know what it's like in my own life. And everybody has had this experience at some level. James then uses the analogy of a baby in its mother's womb. The decision to act out our lust causes our sinful behavior to become alive. And so saying yes is to conceive, is to say yes and to give life to this desire. It becomes a living thing because we're stepping into it and we're doing it. Stage four is acting out the sin. So lustful desire gives birth to sin when we act out this lustful desire. And there's specific features to our lust that now openly begin to manifest themselves. When we walk out sin, here's a key thing. We give Satan a legal door of entry into our lives. This is why when you fall, it's really important to repent. And if we fall into serious sin, to get the confession as soon as we can. Because you want to close that door. We don't want to give the devil opportunity and legal right to squat on our land. I mean, those who are baptized into Christ, Jesus said at one point, the devil has no hold on me. Well, when we're born in the state of original sin, we're born under sin. There's a domination and a power at work there. And that stain of original sin gets dealt with in baptism, and we're given grace and power. We still battle, concupiscence battle, these desires that are describing at a certain level, but they don't have to dominate our lives. We can walk in freedom. We have authority, and we have authority over the devil. He has no right to come in and just to squat on your land and take authority and start to take possession of your property. He doesn't have the right to do that. But if we open the door, if we not only by thinking about these kind of things, but we actually make the decision to step in, that's when we're giving up our freedom. We yield our authority. And it's important to see that. That's stage four. Stage five, these sinful distinct behaviors can become habits. And then sin becomes full grown. Like a child that grows up, it becomes full grown. It can lead to the point of being addictive, and we get enslaved to it. And then we've yielded, we've given our powers and our decision-making and our imagination and our habits over to it, and we've convinced ourselves somehow that this is okay or that we can't live without it, and then it gets rooted deeply within us. It becomes full-grown, and if we're not repenting and battling against it, it can lay hold of us at a deep level. Our capacities for specific lust can progressively enlarge over time. It's important for us to be able to see that. And one of the other things, and this is really clear, I think anybody who's really battled a serious sin for a long time in their life and struggled and looks back on it and they gained freedom to say, one of the things is that over time it becomes less satisfying and it becomes more dark and depressing. And this is where you see the real darkness that lurks behind the sin, the work of the enemy. And it begins to create consequences. We're dominated by shame and pain, a deep sense of loss that's present, and a wounding takes place, and we get weakened. So it's just part of the anatomy of giving into serious sin and it becoming a habit and becoming addictive. That's kind of stage five. And stage six is the most dire, obviously, where sin brings forth death ultimately, is what James is saying in the passage, and St. Paul and others have said it. Because this helps us understand that sin's a big deal. And sin is something to be feared in the right kind of way and to take very seriously, not be casual toward it. Again, you don't have to be scrupulous in a way that's unhealthy. We don't have to live in total fear of it, but we have to have a certain sober judgment about how serious it is. And so that kind of perception is really helpful. And so the ultimate end is that, you know, Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, he said, the wages of sin is death. There's loss, there's pain, there's shame, which are like death's children, you might say. So what we're facing in life, friends, and it's unavoidable because we live in a battle. And Jesus came and he's giving us a way out. His mercy is great. His power is enough. He's calling us to the kingdom of God because we're born into a kingdom of darkness where the slavery to sin and death is there. And unfortunately, in a culture like ours, it can be very seductive. We're rich, we're powerful, we've got gazillion distractions. We have all kinds of ways to focus on ourselves, to medicate ourselves. And then we have the leaders in the world who are pushing the religious perspective, God's story, the truth about the gospel no longer has hold in the center of the culture. But we create the illusion that there's a third way between this God story and somehow having no hope in the world. We have hope that we're going to create for ourselves. We create our own new values. We have our own definitions of what is good and evil. And we act like we're very secure, like the psalmist says, you know, the proud man struts through life in such a way and he doesn't know where his pride has led him because he's blinded by his pride. And so what we're seeing in the culture today is a new sort of moral code. A new set of commandments are emerging of what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, what's good and what's not good. That's a really dangerous thing because the culture, the way of life of the people reinforces it. And those who are on the right side get rewarded. Those who are on the wrong side get punished. So the culture begins to train us in what is displeasing to God. And even the laws of a country, which we're seeing now more and more, reward some things that offend God and punish things that try to discourage things that God wants us to take hold of and to walk in. So the broader culture is making it easy for us now to sin. I remember Peter Kreeft saying something like a good political order is one that helps make it easy to say yes to the right things. And a bad one is one that makes it difficult to say yes to what leads to human flourishing and to God's purpose and plan in people's lives that parallels that. So here we are. And so we're going to either, in this battle, we either dive voluntarily to the lust that we face right now in all this spiritual battle, or in the end, we die involuntarily to its power. But we want to choose life. Amen? Have a wonderful weekend, friends. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.